I wonder, have you ever lost something which is very important and invaluable to you? I know that if that happens, I'm sure that you will not give yourself any rest until you find it. Whether it is the keys of the car or your glasses or something that is even more important. We know that if we lose something that is valuable to us, that we will seek it out until we find it. On the spiritual plane, we are all loved and very important to the Lord. And this is why he has provided for us the way of salvation, so that we can have the forgiveness of our sins and an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. That is why he is maybe seeking you out, even in this meeting tonight. Many people today are lonely. They feel that nobody cares for them. Some have no family and maybe only a few friends. They feel lost, and many are lost, and many have lost their way on the path of life. We are reminded in Matthew chapter 6, in the verse 36, of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And as that was so in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is also so in our day and generation. The Lord Jesus Christ loves and cares about you. He is a true shepherd to his people. Here in Luke chapter 15, and some say that here that we have three famous parables about the lost. They are the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, or the lost silver, and the lost son. But I think as we look a little closer here at this portion of scripture, that we may have just one parable. They all have the same theme, but they portray three different aspects to what it is to be lost. It does say in Luke chapter 15 and verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, it does not say these parables, but this parable. In this parable, there are three things which are lost, but then were found. And moreover, notice that there was great rejoicing whenever they were found. In each of these three parables, you have a different aspect to what it means to be a lost soul. The lost sheep here is in great danger. The lost coin is in the midst of darkness. The lost son is in the depths of sin. And all of these are a picture of the condition of the lost sinner. The lost sheep needs to be brought back. The lost coin is a dead object portraying that we are dead in trespasses and sins. The actions of the Son portraying our ingratitude to the Father. Christ is the good shepherd laying down his life. It is a picture of our redemption. The Holy Spirit seeking out the lost. The lost one is a picture of regeneration. God the Father embracing the one brought back is a picture of our reconciliation to God. The narrative of these three lost things has made Luke chapter 15 a very special chapter in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here upon earth, was one who was continually in the pursuit of lost souls. He had a reputation for being a friend of publicans and sinners. In the opening verse, in the verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The publicans that are being spoken about here would today be referred to as being tax collectors. And we know that in revenue, tax collectors are not maybe the most popular people with many in the business world. And it was so in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe it is the same. It is the same today. They're not very popular people, but nevertheless, they have an important work to do. The sinners were those who we might say were great sinners. Great sinners who were pointed out as being sinners in the community. But let us also realize that many of the Lord's sheep, and that may include many of us, that we were found in the midst, as it were, of the worst of the world, where those who the world would have looked upon as sinners, and some of the greatest of saints have been those who, before they were saved, were the greatest of sinners. The Pharisees who are being spoken about here were the great religious leaders of the day. And so in the Luke 15 and verse 2, "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." To them, what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing, sitting down to eat and to talk with sinners, was to them a great sin. They did not understand how a preacher of religion could have anything to do with sinners who were wicked people. They never caught on that the Lord allowed sinners in his company in order to save them from their sins. He was the sinner's friend, not to participate with them in their sins, but to pardon and to deliver them from their sin. The fact that Christ receiveth sinners is the good news of the gospel. He receiveth sinners to redeem them. The Lord here rebukes these religious leaders because they had little or no interest in the spiritual needs of the people. They had no interest in the salvation of the lost. The scribes and the Pharisees had no interest in the salvation of the lost. But these parables show to us that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he did have great interest in the salvation of the lost. And today we would like to look at this portion of scripture that relates to us about the lost sheep. And I would like for us to consider three things about the lost sheep. And first of all, there is the fact of being lost. The shepherd, as he looks out over his flock of 100 sheep, he can only count 99. And he counts them again, and still he can only find 99. And then as the shepherd looks out and through the flock, suddenly he has a picture in his mind of the sheep that is lost. The one that is missing. And he in all probability knows it by name. You might look at a flock of sheep, and my, if there's 100 sheep, that's quite a number of sheep, and my, they might look all the same to you. And to me, but for the man who is looking after those sheep, to the shepherd of the sheep, there's a difference in each sheep. And very often we can know the individual sheep. And very often the shepherds who were spent all their time with the sheep, they knew the sheep individually by name. Let me also say that the sheep and looking after sheep, it's maybe slightly different in here in Northern Ireland to what it is in Eastern countries, and in fact different to what it is in Kenya. Here, a farmer has sheep and you put them into a field and you close the gate and you can leave them. But in Bible times, and in fact in Kenya today, someone is always looking after the sheep. They're out, they're feeding on the grass by the way or in the field or wherever, and there's always someone with those sheep and continually looking after them. And that is a picture of what it is to be a shepherd and to look after sheep here from a biblical perspective. But immediately the shepherd identifies the sheep that is lost. His focus then is upon the sheep that is lost. And that's not because he doesn't care about the 99, or the 99, for all of them are precious to him. But for now, his focus is on the one that is lost, because it is the one that is in danger. And immediately he begins to search for it. The shepherd knows that this poor sheep is lost, and he knows that being lost, that it is in great danger, because of all the animals, it's an animal which cannot help itself, cannot defend itself. It is one of the most helpless animals whenever it comes to looking after itself. But let us ask ourselves the question, well, how does a sheep become lost? Why does it become lost? This can happen because of a lack of attention. The sheep needs to be with the shepherd if it is to be okay. There are times whenever the sheep can get its head down, it's got a good piece of grass, and it'll continue to graze, and it doesn't pay attention to where the shepherd is, and it wanders away, it just grazes away, and it finds itself out of the company of the shepherd. And many people can be like that too, because people can be engrossed with their work, engrossed with hobbies, engrossed with what they are doing, and as a result, they have no time for God. And as a result, they lose their way. They lose their way with their family. Lose their way, more importantly, they lose their way with God. Their mind has been taken up with other things. And they have forgotten about the Lord. Then there are times whenever the shepherd calls and the sheep pay no attention to the shepherd when he calls. And instead of listening to what the shepherd has to say, they go their own way. And as a result, the sheep can become lost. And that is also true with many. There's many and they don't hear the voice of God. They're too busy listening to other voices. And as a result, they lose their way. A good way to get into trouble and away from God, or where God wants you to be, is to take your eyes from off the Lord. To take your attention from off the Word of God. And from what God is saying to you in His Word. If you do that, you will take the wrong way and you'll go the wrong direction in the path of life. And let me say that to leave God out of your life is to miss the blessing of God in your life. It can be a lack of attention. There can also be a lack of discipline. The sheep can become distracted by many things. The sheep can take itself off from under the eye of the shepherd. Again, there's a slight difference here. For the sheep, it might be a hole in a hedge. And if a sheep finds a hole in a hedge, my, it'll be out. And not only will the one sheep be out, but all the sheep in the flock will go. One will follow the other, one after the other, through the hole in the hedge. And they will all go astray. And so the sheep has that tendency to wander, and that tendency to go, as it were, and to explore for itself. But very often that leads the sheep into trouble. And so too, maybe young people, you have the opportunity to do many things. You have the opportunity to go different ways. And it is very easy to take the wrong way. Many a young person goes away from home. And my, to study or to work, and why you think it's great. You're away from home and you're not under the jurisdiction of your parents, and you think that maybe that you can do as you please. And to have freedom, it may be good, but we can find ourselves taken the wrong way or the wrong direction if we leave the Lord out of our lives. We are prone to wander. We are prone to go astray. And that is so of us all. As reminded in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And not only are we prone to go astray ourselves, but like the sheep, we're very prone to having others to follow us and to go the same direction. And that is a double tragedy. We all go astray from the moment that we are born. There are no exceptions. Even the child that is born into the Christian home is going astray from the moment it's born. A lack of discipline. But as we consider getting lost, there is a great danger in being lost. And whenever a sheep gets lost, it is, and it does bring itself into a position of great danger. And just as a lost sheep is in danger of being attacked by all sorts of wild animals, so lost people are in danger of Satan's ploys. We are reminded in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, but your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that's a picture, a biblical picture that is given to us of Satan's attack upon men and women and boys and girls. He's pictured as a roaring lion. A roaring lion is a ferocious animal. There's none of us can stand against it. To meet a roaring lion is to be in a place of great danger. And for a sheep to be faced with a lion is almost a certain death. The lost sheep is also to be aware not only of the lion of Satan, but we read also in the scripture that we have to be aware of the wolves. The wolf is an animal that can track its prey from a great distance. It's a cunning animal. It's a fierce animal. It's a bloodthirsty animal. In Paul's farewell words to the flock at Ephesus, he tells in Acts 20 and verse 28, he says, "Grievous wolves shall enter in among you, and not sparing the flock." And when the Lord is speaking about the good shepherd, he says concerning the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. And just like whenever dogs attack a flock of sheep, and that is a terrible scene to see a flock of sheep after they've been attacked by one or more dogs. I have seen it at home, and it is not a very pleasant sight. Some of the sheep will be dead, some of them badly wounded. Others that escape, maybe they're trapped in briars, they're found in bogland and in the mire. And this is a picture of what happens whenever people listen to false teachers and to false doctrine. And today, with the advent of the internet and internet preachers and all that there is out there in the internet, my false doctrine and false teaching abounds. Fellowship and communion with the Lord, if that path is taken and false doctrine and that is embraced, then fellowship and communion with the Lord will be broken. Hurt and confusion will leave people in turmoil of mind and will lead them in a path that takes them away from God. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful as to what we believe. We need to be careful whenever it comes to the Word of God that we hold fast to the plain teaching of Scripture. But further, the sheep are lost. The lost sheep is in great danger in the time of storm. We only see maybe rain here in measure. It's not always torrential rain. It's not always that it'll put livestock in danger. It can happen from time to time. But in Kenya, it can happen more often. And whenever the rains come, rivers can suddenly rise. Vast areas of ground can suddenly be covered with water. And for the sheep, it can easily be overcome in the flood water. And as a result, the sheep can be drowned. And so a time of storm is also a time of great danger for the sheep. And so it is with us on the path of life. Whenever there are those times of storm and all of those things enter into our lives, we can be placed, as it were, in great danger. But further, the lost sheep will be a sheep that is that has got no safety. It's not safe whenever it's lost. It cannot be assured of pasture. It has no peace. It has no protection. And so it is with sin. Sin will take you in a path where you'll have no pasture for your soul. You have no place of safety. There is no place of safety outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be no peace. Moreover, a wandering sheep is not a happy sheep. If a sheep is lost, you will hear it bleating. You'll hear it bleating and bleating. Why? Because it knows that it's not at rest. It's not at peace. It knows that it's not in the place of safety. The lost sheep does not have the protection from the shepherd that it needs. And the sheep is conscious of that. And you'll find that it bleats because it has no rest. It's not in the shepherd's care. And so too, the lost sinner is in great danger of being lost in the storms of life. And finally, in the great storm of God's wrath, whenever God's wrath is poured out, that wrath which is coming, we do not stand to have any hope being out of Christ. Reminded in John chapter 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The Apostle Paul tells us in chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." The lost sheep is in great danger, but so too is the lost sinner. And the lost sinner, we have to say, is in much greater danger, because he is in danger of his eternal welfare. He is in danger of being lost eternally. Then sometimes a sheep may run away from trouble, but we have to say that there are many times when a sheep will run into trouble. And the lost sinner is likewise. Many times he runs away, he's running away from God, but it takes himself into trouble. The lost sinner is likewise unable to help himself. We have no strength in ourselves. We're unable to do anything to merit God's salvation. We are reminded in God's word that for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are not able to do anything in order to merit salvation for ourselves. I wonder tonight, where do you stand? Are you in Christ? Are you saved? Do you know that you're saved? Or are you out of Christ and you're in that broad road that is leading you to a lost eternity? It's good to be in church, but to be in church is not enough. You need to be in Christ, and you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and as your personal Savior. To be lost, moreover, to be lost is to lose your value. Lost sheep is of no value to its owner. If you have 100 sheep and they're all lost, you might as well have no sheep. They are of no value. And so too, for the lost sinner. A lost sinner has lost its value. Sin takes away your spiritual value. Sin takes away your value in serving God. You cannot serve God in your sin. You first of all need to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The fact of being lost, if you're not saved tonight, you're out of Christ. The fact is, you're lost. And I pray that that truth will come home and register upon your heart this evening. But then secondly, there is the personal seeking out of the lost by Christ. The personal seeking out of the lost by Christ. Verse 4 of Luke chapter 15. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Let me say that the shepherd is a shepherd because he likes looking after and caring for the sheep. It's not an easy job to be a shepherd, out in the fields, climbing the hills, in all sorts of weather, up in the middle of the night, looking after the sick and looking after the sheep whenever they're lambing. There's much hard work in being a shepherd. But the shepherd does his work because he loves the sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. And it was his love for us that brought him down from the glory and splendor of heaven to be to this world. We're reminded of that love in John 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Reminded by the Apostle Paul that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But not only does the shepherd have a love for his sheep in his heart, remember too that there was that outworking of that love and the fact that he has given his life as a ransom for our sin on the cross of Calvary. There was a practical outworking of his love for us. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Lord has come to both to search and to seek out for his sheep. And as soon as man went astray, do you remember in the Garden of Eden, whenever man went astray? You remember that as soon as he went astray, the Lord went after him. Minded in Genesis 3 and verse 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" The Lord pursued him. And the Lord pursues men and women today. Is the Lord pursuing you? Is the Lord calling you unto salvation? And remember too that just after that the Lord was calling Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that following that call we have that wonderful promise of the Savior in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. He says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." A wonderful promise of the Savior. The Lord seeking. The Lord promising the Savior. And the promised Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, went all the way to Calvary. And there he shed his precious blood in order that we might have life eternal. This is made known whenever he said to us in John chapter 10 and verse 11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." The Lord Jesus Christ has given his life for the sheep. But praise God, today we do not come to a Savior who is laying in the tomb. We have a Savior who is risen, who is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. "Now the God of peace had brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Our Savior is not in the tomb tonight. He is risen, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, making intercession for us even at this very time. The work on the cross is complete. God is satisfied with the price that has been paid. And he gives the invitation to men and women tonight to come and to receive him to be their Savior. The shepherd seeks out the lost sheep, and he seeks it until he finds it. We're reminded in our scripture reading of that fact in the verse 4. He will go after it, that which is lost, until he find it. He never gives up on the lost sheep until it is found. He looks himself and he looks for the sheep. He's seeking the sheep. And those who serve the Lord, we are also to make known that message and to give the invitation to men and women to come. And the Lord today is seeking out his lost sheep. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 and 12. It reminds us the Lord himself is actively doing that. He tells us in verse 11 of Ezekiel 34, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." Verse 12, "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." You see, there is a searching that has been done personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's seeking out his lost sheep. The world is a cloudy and a dark place, but the Lord is seeking out his lost sheep. The Lord found the thief on the cross. The thief repented of his sin, and in asking the forgiveness of his sin, he was told, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The Lord found Saul of Tarsus. We have that account in the book of Acts. And as a result, that Saul was saved. And he cried out with those words, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" I wonder tonight, has the Lord found you? Are you in Christ this evening? The shepherd will care for the sheep once he has found it. He will bring it to feed upon good pasture. He will bring it to the supply of good water. He will watch over it. He will protect it from all danger. And likewise, whenever the lost sinner has been found by Christ, the Lord will provide that spiritual food that we need. The Lord will cleanse our consciences by his precious blood. He will set us free in Christ. He will cleanse us afresh in his precious blood. He will provide for us all that we need through his precious word. He will protect us from spiritual dangers that are all around us. We have a wonderful Saviour in Christ. You know, the safety of the sheep is inseparably linked to the strength of the shepherd. If there's a flock of sheep and the shepherd's not able to do anything, he's a useless man, it's no use to the sheep. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he is all-powerful, and we can depend upon him as our shepherd, knowing that he is able to undertake for us. And moreover, our heavenly shepherd, he will never lose any of his sheep. Sometimes a shepherd looking after sheep will lose some of them. And that whenever he does, the shepherd does his accounts at the end of the year, there's a few maybe that are missing. But not our heavenly shepherd. He will not lose any. Reminded in John chapter 17 and verse 12, I kept them in thy name, and those that thou givest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. None. Not one. Not one. The Lord Jesus Christ is one who loves the sheep. He's one who has great compassion. He's showing that great compassion towards sinners, as sinners, because we deserve nothing but for the wrath of God to be poured out upon us. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Remember how he took the road through Samaria that he might meet and talk with the woman by the well at Sychar? He sought her out and he found her. I wonder, is the Lord speaking to you this evening? The Lord did not give up on us, did not give up on me. And I know that he will not give up on you. But I pray that you will not quench the Spirit of God, but if the Spirit of God is speaking with you, that you will come and that you will make your way to the foot of the cross. Oh, in this portion of Scripture tonight, there's not only the fact that we're lost, but there is the personal seeking out of the lost by Christ. And then thirdly, there is the rejoicing in heaven over the lost being found. The climax of the parable is the rejoicing that occurred because the lost sheep was found. Verse 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And here we see what the Lord does. The sheep is raised up from its former condition. It's raised up to a place of safety and security. As you're reminded in Isaiah 43 and verse 1, the Lord says, fear not, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, thou art mine. And by that lifting upon the shoulders, there was that symbolism that the sheep belongs to me. It's mine. And we thank the Lord that in coming to Christ, that we belong to him. The Lord is willing to identify with us. He's not ashamed. He carries us on his shoulders. All our weight is placed upon him. All depends upon him. And so it is whenever it comes to our salvation in Christ. All depends upon the Lord. Moreover, the shepherd, he did not wait until he got home to start rejoicing. He started rejoicing as soon as the lost sheep was on his shoulders. And when he got home, we read in verse 6, and he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep, which was lost. There was a joy that was so great that it could not be contained. All heaven is interested in the salvation of the soul. The Heavenly Father will rejoice. Reminded in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, the Lord thy God, he will save and rejoice over thee with joy. God the Father rejoices over those who come, rejoices with joy. The Son will rejoice, the Holy Ghost will rejoice. And further, whenever you get saved, and as the experience of all who are saved in this meeting tonight, there will be great joy in your heart. Because there's a great barrier has been broken down, that barrier of separation between you and God. And whenever we come to Christ and know him as our Savior, and that truth dawns upon our soul, that is a day of rejoicing. And I pray that you have experienced that day. Have you experienced the joy of being redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb? I pray that that might be so. Sin brings nothing but sorrow. The pleasures of this world are but artificial pleasures that last for a time. But salvation is that which brings true joy. brings true peace, peace which gives rest to the soul, peace which brings joy and satisfaction to our hearts. Moreover, whenever the sinner comes to Christ, there's great joy in the hearts and the lives of all of God's people. And we would rejoice even more to hear of others coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know it would be a source of great joy in this congregation to know of those who have come and those who would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There will be rejoicing. And I pray that that might be so. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. What does that mean? I know there are various meanings, and commentators have maybe differed to some degree on the interpretation here. But I think if you can imagine a family that has maybe, say, 7 children, 6 of the children are well, but one of the little children is seriously ill and brought near to the gates of death. And then a few days passes by, and the child recovers again. That will be an occasion of great rejoicing. Occasion of great rejoicing whenever the little child has been restored to health and strength again. And for the time being, that little child brings more joy to the household than all of the healthy ones. But that does not mean that they are not all part of the one and the same family. And today the Lord is ready and willing to save all who come. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Lord has shown his love to us in many different ways, and especially in bringing us under the sound of his word. And he has shown to us the way by which we can be saved. And let me ask you tonight, if you're not saved, what is holding you back? Why not come to Christ? Why not come and receive him as your Savior? In closing this evening, let us remind ourselves here of what is said in verses 5 and 6 of Luke chapter 15. And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. My sheep which was lost. Let us remind ourselves here again of when is the occurrence of the rejoicing in heaven. It is whenever the sinner repents. Whenever the sinner repents. To repent of our sin is to have a change of attitude about our sin. The sin that we love, we come to hate. It's a change of attitude. Before we are saved, we love our sin. But whenever we come to Christ, we come to hate our sin. I've often used the illustration of the sheep and the pig. The pig is an animal that loves to wallow in the mire, a picture of the sinner in his sin. But the sheep's different. Doesn't mean that sheep never get dirty, but it does mean that the sheep is a different nature and doesn't like to get dirty. And whenever we come to repent of our sin, we have a change of attitude about our sin. As a shorter catechism defines the subject of repentance, in question 87, the question is asked, what is repentance unto life? And the answer is given that repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin, an apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with great hatred of his sin turn from it unto God, with a full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience. Has there been that change in your life? Have you come to hate your sin? Doesn't mean that your life is perfect, but you've come to hate your sin and you desire for the Lord to continually give you the victory over besetting sin in your life. Whenever the lost sheep was rescued, my, it was obvious. It was obvious the sheep was rescued. And so too, will true salvation be in our lives. There will be a great change. And we will know, without a doubt, that we have been born again with the Spirit of God. Has that change taken place in your life? Can you say tonight and have that, you have that assurance in your heart that you've been born again of the Spirit of God? Can you say with David the words of the Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Tonight, can you say that you belong to Christ? Can you say that he is my shepherd? Can you say that I love him? I desire to serve him with all my heart. Oh, I pray tonight, if you're still out of Christ, that you will come. That you will come, you'll come to him this evening. And you'll be able to say with the hymn writer, "I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. When I would wander from the path astray, then he will draw me back into the way. In the darkest valley, I need fear no ill, for he, my shepherd, will be with me still." I wonder, can you say those words tonight? I wonder, is that the desire of your heart? I pray that it is. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that you revealed the lostness of our souls. You revealed our sinfulness, and Lord, how that we were without hope. But we thank you, Lord, that you showed us the great hope there is in Christ. And Lord, tonight we know that there is a great number in this meeting, and we rejoice that thou art our heavenly Father, that thou art our shepherd, thou art the one who has loved us with an everlasting love. And we just pray as this meeting comes to a close, that if there be one in this meeting tonight who is still a stranger to grace, who's out of the fold, who's lost, and who is as a lost sheep, we pray that they would be able to come and to receive thee to be their Saviour tonight. Be pleased to grant it. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.